Welcome to the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange. Today's topic is WebSphere Message Broker, Common Problems, and How to Resolve Them. Today's presenters are Randy Mueller and Kailash Perry. Randy and Kailash are members of the WebSphere Message Broker Level 2 support team, where they work with customers to identify and resolve product issues, as well as providing assistance with product setup and configuration. Randy has been a member of the team since 2001, while Kailash joined the team in 2002. At this time, I would like to turn the presentation over to Randy and Kailash.
Hi, everyone. My name is Randy Mueller, and I'd like to thank you all for joining today's presentation, WebSphere Message Broker, Common Problems, and How to Resolve Them. Today, Kailash and I will cover some of the more commonly reported issues related to Version 7 Message Broker. With the announcement of Version 7 Broker, the product and its architecture have been simplified, and the product now requires fewer prerequisite products. A few of the changes made which affect the types of issues being reported include the elimination of the configuration manager, by far one of the most significant changes affecting what we see being reported and not reported. And so the toolkit and the MQ Explorer connect directly to the broker components now. Also, in conjunction with the config manager being eliminated, the security model was simplified. The new security option now uses WMQ facilities, replacing the access control lists that were managed by the config manager in previous versions. Additionally, you no longer need to have a prerequisite database product to support the broker's internal repository. Configuration data is now stored within the local file system. These changes have certainly had an effect on the problems that are being reported at version 7. For a more comprehensive list of what's new at version 7, I'd recommend you to the version 7 Message Broker Info Center, and that would be at one of the links at the end of the presentation. Today, our presentation will cover some of the more common problems reported in the areas of migration, administration, broker tooling, and the broker runtime. So we'll also provide a list of useful links and related information toward the end of our presentation. So with that, let's begin. Can I have the next foil, please? Okay, for this specific issue, users running MQSI migrate components may experience an abend or other failure during the database migration portion of the migration. So just some background here. The broker database table, BRM, RTD, info, contains details of the registered runtime dictionary deployed to all execution groups. One of the details is an optional message set alias name, which may not exist for all message sets. When this alias does not exist, then its value in the database is usually a series of null bytes. In this specific case, there was a dictionary deployed whose alias is a true SQL null. Okay, so although this is a valid value, it is uncommon and unfortunately the MQSI migrate component did not handle it very well. A simple workaround is to change the null to actually a null byte string using the SQL provided in this slide here. Obviously, as a word of precaution, always back up the repository prior to making any manual change such as this. This provides a necessary fallback should unexpected problems occur. This issue is addressed via APAR IC68382, which is included in 6-Pack1. Okay, Kailash will take us through the next couple of foils, so if we could have the next foil, please.
Okay, we are now on slide 4. During migration, you occasionally see XML parsing error and unable to parse data received errors. This happens if you are migrating from version 6.0 of the broker and your broker database is an Oracle database. You will see BIP 5004E and BIP 8047E messages, which indicate that the document has an invalid structure followed by the unable to parse data message. This happens because the DataDirect driver for Oracle fails to return a multi-byte character that spans across multiple buffers. The DataDirect driver for version 6.0 retrieves the top data from a Unicode database using a set of internal buffers. If that data contains a multi-byte character which spans across multiple buffers, that character is corrupted, causing the above message. And this is fixed by APAR IC 70595 and is currently targeted at FixPack 2. One thing I want to mention during this presentation, whenever we say a fix is targeted for FixPack 2, it has to go through the internal test cycle. If it is successfully tested in the internal test cycle, then it will be available. Otherwise, it won't be available until the next FixPack, and until then, you need to get a fix from us by raising a PMR. With that said, let's move on to slide number 5. Moving on to common administration problems, some of the UDN configurable service properties are not loaded. I'd rather say not loaded than they don't survive a restart. For example, if you create a user-defined configurable service using MQSI create configurable service command, as shown in the example, by providing the broker name minus C user-defined minus O the object name and minus N a test parameter and minus V the value, and immediately after running the command, you can list it using the MQSI report properties command, it will show it. However, if you restart the broker and try to list the property, that property is gone. The broker no longer retains that. So we opened a defect for this, and it's covered by APAR IC 70390, and it should be available in FixPack 2 as well. Let's move on to the next slide, slide 6. Okay, moving on with the common problems in administration, one of the things that we have seen is MQSI list command does not show the correct process ID for active broker queue manager in an HA environment. If you're running a multi-instance broker and you switch the broker from active to standby mode, the MQSI list command does not show the correct process ID for the now active broker process. This is because the broker has not updated the process identifier, and we have fixed this problem with APAR IC 64650, and it's available in FixPack 1 of version 7. Let's move on to the next slide, slide 7.
Okay, slide 7, Message Broker Explorer does not show the complete contents of the VAR file after deploy. It was discovered that if a VAR file was deployed that contained a message flow whose long description spanned multiple lines, then the Message Broker Explorer had a problem displaying the entire contents of the successfully deployed VAR file. And in some cases, the execution group itself was not displayed. This issue does not occur with the toolkit, but only with the Message Broker Explorer. APAR IC 71046 was open for this issue and is picked up in FixPack 1. We could go to slide number 8, please. Okay, this issue has to do with the use of MQSI keywords, and specifically the customer would set a keyword in the message flow and deploy it, but what was actually seen in the toolkit would be inaccurate compared to what was seen in the Explorer. So basically, the overview here is when you're deploying a message flow, you can define the version of the message flow as well as other key information that you want to be associated with it. Then after the message flow is deployed, you can view the properties of the message flow in both the Explorer and the toolkit. These properties include deployment and modification dates and times, as well as any additional version or keyword information that you want to set. You can define information to give details of message flows that are deployed, and then you can actually use that information to verify that, in fact, that's the flow that's active, or that there's a version of the flow that's active, I should say. So in this specific case, you can see that the user set three keywords, deployed the VAR file, and the toolkit only shows the very first version piece of that, whereas the Explorer shows all three pieces. So that particular issue is APAR IC 64979, and the formal fix is picked up in Fix Pack 1. So if we could go to slide 9, please.
Okay. Broker toolkits cannot be used with PVCS dimensions. What I mean by that is customers who are using PVCS dimensions for source code control, there is a conflict between broker toolkits and PVCS itself. This is because PVCS uses dot metadata directories to store PVCS-related information. So whenever you retrieve a project from PVCS, every directory that is retrieved contains a dot metadata directory. So in the toolkit, if you're creating a user-defined node project, the toolkit version 7001, it must have a file called dot metadata, which is causing a conflict. So it's not possible to store UDNs in PVCS because there are two dot metadata. So this problem is fixed by APAR IC 70952, and that will be available with Fix Pack 2 of the toolkit. Moving on to the next slide, slide 10. If you're using a multi-instance broker, sometimes deploys cause failure of the execution loop. So if you're using a multi-instance broker, and for any reason, if the queue manager of the multi-instance broker is stopped, then execution routes are not shut down, causing the broker to hang. And you might need to delete and recreate the execution routes to recover during a deploy operation. So APAR IC65474 rectifies this problem by correctly handling the errors that are occurring during the deploy operation so that you don't need to delete and recreate the execution loop. Moving on to slide 11. MTSI create bar command generating a Java null pointer exception. If you use MTSI create bar command to create the bar file from the command line, even though the bar file is created correctly, the command itself throws a Java null pointer exception as shown in the slide here. The null pointer exception itself does not in any way affect the creation of the bar file. The bar file is a legitimate bar file, so it can be deployed. So it's more an annoying message. So internally, we fix the code to eliminate the null pointer exception, and that is fixed by APAR IC 70825, and it's available in Fix Pack 1. Moving on to the next slide, slide 12.
Okay, slide 12, this is a pretty simple scenario and error. Prior to Fix Pack 1, any attempt within the message broker toolkit to specify a broker or a queue manager label that contains a period would result in an error message being thrown. So, for instance, in my example here, the my.broker would be disallowed by the toolkit. And you'd need to work around this simply by, obviously, specifying something that didn't have a period in it. The fix in Fix Pack 1 is APAR IC65871. So if we could move to slide 13, please.
Okay. You cannot use a Java method call from a message map in the if clause. So if you are using message map, as you all know, you can call a Java method from a message map. But currently, if the Java method is called from conditional if statement, it fails. What happens is the message map does not accept this Java method because of a defect from the if clause. So the bar file will not be compiled correctly, and so the message flows will not deploy. So this problem is fixed by APAR IC65036, and it is scheduled to be included in Fix Pack 2. Moving on to the next slide.
Okay, slide 14, users cannot connect to a remote broker using an SSL connection. That's not completely accurate. I'd say we don't actually allow that or facilitate that in the best way possible. So when a toolkit user would attempt to connect to the remote broker using an SSL connection, the only method of passing the SSL trust store and key store passwords was via VMR, the toolkit startup time. This was not considered secure and was not consistent with the message that the broker explorer used. So APAR IC66666 provides for a pop-up which prompts the users for the password information for both of the key stores. If we could have slide number 15, please. Okay. In this particular issue, fit message 3614, error message, feed when it's up input node, because the C data within the WSDL could not be read successfully. Some background here, a WSDL is a document describing a web service and is written in XML. It contains information such as the location of the service and the operations or methods that the service exposes. SOAP nodes are configured by either dragging and dropping the WSDL directly onto the message flow canvas or onto a SOAP node. When this is done, the toolkit reads the contents of the WSDL and sets much of the configured information needed in the nodes themselves. So in this scenario, it does not locate the seed data element correctly within the WSDL, resulting in the error. And the error specifically says a SOAP logical tree cannot be built from the message bitstream. The bitstream is not a valid web service message. The workaround here would be to manually redefine the WSDL so that the first child of body is not a C data element, either by reordering the fields or by moving the C data section into a child element of the first child. Either of those would work around this restriction that we have here. The issue was identified as part of APAR IC67360 and is officially resolved in 6PAC1. So if we could move to slide 16, please.
Hi. If you have a message flow that contains a trace node, sometimes it stops writing the trace output to a file, even if the flow continues to process messages when it encounters an out-of-space issue on the file system. You will see a bit 4056W in the system log indicating that there is not enough space in the file system. To recover from this error, you would need to stop the flow, delete the trace node file so that you make enough space and restart the message flow. We had a defect in the code that we logged this event only once to prevent flooding of the same PIP 4056 warning messages in the system log. And even when you clear the log files, you would expect the trace node to log the messages that are happening further. But this defect caused logging not to resume so that your trace files are not being written anymore. And APAR IC67322 fixes that problem, and you should have this APAR if you have 6PAC1 applied. So moving on to the next slide, slide 17.
Okay, slide 17, file input node throws a Java null number format exception when using secure FTP. We have a deployed flow that contains a file input node configured to do secure FTP to either pull a file or a group of files from another server. Either the user or the group name of the target file, all right, the user or group owner for that target file, contains a space character in its name, then the Java lang number format exception will be thrown. So in this particular example, the file node is actually going after a file that's owned by group dev space group one, and that will result in the lang Java or the Java lang number format exception. This was documented via APAR IC64419 and is officially resolved as part of 6.1. So if we could move to 18, please. BitCHPR, which is the job that you run on ZOS due to the MQSI change properties, results in semaphores being created with incorrect group ownership, causing abends. Some background here. Semaphores are used to control access to the broker's configuration repository and are created by the broker-started task. Some commands also require access to the repository as do the broker and execution group tasks. And therefore, the administrator user ID that is running the command job must have sufficient access permissions to use semaphores. If the administrator user ID does not have that sufficient access, then the command job abends with the issue that you see in the slide here, the abend happening when we make the call to some control. So the correction for this particular issue and it's a correction with the slide as well, is actually APAR PM 16158. And that is picked up in 6-1. And if we can move to slide number 19, please. Okay, this issue has to do with the timeout notification notes, internal queue handle, getting invalidated, which results in an MQ return code of 2019, 2036, and 2037. Timeout notification node is an input node that you can use in a couple of different ways. It can be used as a standalone node, or the node can be paired with one or more timeout control nodes. In both cases, the node propagates copies of the message or portions of the message to the next node in the flow at time intervals that are specified in the configuration of the node. So in this particular case, MQ return code errors occur, then the timeout notification node stops working and the data flow engine goes into a high CPU usage situation. And we can have the next foil number 20. So the local fix would be to increase the size of the internal broker cache to ensure that the broker does not invalidate the handles used by the timeout internal processing. And the way you would do this would be by using the NPSI change properties command. And you would specify object of COM IBM MQ connection manager, the specific property that you would increase the value on would be the queue cache max size. And initially we would suggest doubling that from 10, which is the default, if you were using the default, to 20. If you were using something higher, then we would suggest doubling that value. So this issue here falls under APAR IZ-74531, and it too is resolved as part of 6.1. Number 21, please.
All right. Service Provision Management Proxy Runtime Artifact Created in Wrong Execution Group. If you're using Service Federation Management, there is a chance that the Service Federation Management proxy runtime artifact can be created in the wrong execution group. How can this happen? If you have a broker with multiple execution groups enabled for Service Federation, and one or more execution groups are used as connectivity provider within the Service Federation domain, then the Service Federation Management Console is used to create a proxy in a domain with the connectivity provider configured to be the broker's execution group. And that operation will normally succeed, and runtime proxy is available for the federated service consumers. That's the normal situation. However, broker actually creates this in the first execution group, irrespective of which connectivity provider was allocated to the domain in the SSM console. That causes the administration issues because of the incorrect correlation between the Service Federation Management Console and the connectivity provider and the execution group. So we have fixed that problem by APAR IC-64821, which is available in 6.1. Moving on to the next slide, slide 22, HTTP nodes might cause stack overflow. If you're using a flow with an HTTP request node, we have seen some stack overflow issues because of a large allocation on the stack. So far, this problem seems to have been reported only on Windows. In the examples that I've shown, I've used only one HTTP request node, but the problem that was reported seemed to have two HTTP request nodes, and during the execution of the second HTTP request node, the stack overflow occurred. So if you encounter this scenario, please request APAR IC-71361-6, or it should be available in 6.2. Moving on to the next slide, slide 23, collector node throwing BIP 4395 Java null pointer exception. If you're using the collector node and an error occurs during the collector node operation, the complete or incomplete collections can be less than the queues that the collector node uses. If that happens, you will see BIP-4395E, Java Lang null pointer exception, thrown from class, com IBM broker, EDA collector node in the file collector node.java. That is followed by another error, BIP-2112E, indicating that there is a message broker internal error with the node, with the queue name, system broker EDA supply collection that the collector node uses. To recover from these errors, you normally need to restart your message flow. But this is fixed by APAR IC-71265 that is targeted for 6.2 as well. Let's move on to the next slide, slide 24. The message broker content-based filtering thread discarding NQ session ID after receiving MQRC no message available that causes the queue manager to throw MQRC no selection available message. So when message broker is publishing a message with a publish node, and if you request the errors to be put to a specific queue by using the code that is shown in the slide, by setting the MQMD report to MQRO NAN and the message type to be NQMD datagram, it's like queue to be a specific queue, then all the messages showed the same reason code of 2551, MQRC selection not available. APAR IC-71255 fixes that problem. That is targeted for 6.2. Moving on to the next slide, slide 25, BIP-2176 errors during the flow execution. If you use the ESQL throw statement in a compute node to throw a user exception by using throw user exception and specify the catalog name to be BIP-V700, you will see this error message indicating that the message number, whichever your user exception number, 2591 or 2549 through 2599, I believe, that it is not a valid user exception. This is because with version 7, we have changed the catalog names to be very specific. Instead of using version-specific numbers that we used to use with earlier versions like BIP-V500 or V600 or V610, now they are generic. They are set to BIP messages. So you have to use that catalog, and the code fragment below shows the correct usage. And this is fixed by IC-71125, and I believe this should make it to 6.2, though the developers are saying that this is not a very critical thing on their list. It should make it to a 6.2. If not, the correcting the code to as shown will fix the problem. Moving on to the next slide, slide 26. More content-based filtering. CBS worker list is not thread-safe, preventing execution groups from shutting down. If you have content-based filtering enabled on the execution group and more than one evaluation thread is defined, the execution groups may hang during a broker shutdown. You can either stop them using the force option NQSI stop minus I or kill the DSP process itself. The reason for this is during broker startup, what we do is we populate a list that contains references to all the content-based filtering evaluation threads. And we use that list to call shutdown on each of the threads when the execution group itself is shutting down. The update to this list during startup are not performed under a lock. And the underlying structure is not thread-safe. That is resulting in one or more threads not being added to the list. As a result, these threads were never asked to shut down, which causes the execution group itself to be, like, not shut down. And this is fixed with APAR IC-71192, and it should be available in 6.2. Moving on to the next slide, slide 27. If you're using the CMP API methods and you want to get a list of all the configurable services using the get configurable services method, the code fragment that shows here is absolutely correct. There is nothing wrong with it. You got the broker proxy and you said, give me the get all the configurable services from the broker proxy. But when I ran this code, nothing was returned. And when we were running it through the debugger, I got all the configurable services. In fact, I was working with Matt Cordova on this problem. We were scratching our heads trying to figure out, like, what was going on. And we ran the CMP API exerciser. It returns everything. And we figured out that the broker proxy takes time to return all the configurable services, and there was not enough time between getting the broker proxy and the configurable services, so the code went to completion really quick. So what you have to do is you have to introduce a while statement which says, like, has the broker data proxy been populated? That method basically returns true or false, so it kind of, like, loops around and waits until all the data is being populated. This is fixed as a documentation fix because this method is not listed in the documentation, so it's more a code fix that you need to write. So I think that's the end of the presentation, so we'll go to the next slide for a brief summary of what we covered.
Okay, so slide 28. This presentation covered some of the more common problems requested or reported by users of Message Broker version 7 in the areas of migration, administration, tooling, and runtime. For additional details on these and other problems, we would refer you to the published tech notes on the Webster Message Broker support site, where a lot of information can be found for not just version 7, but for the previous versions as well. If you get on there and you're looking for something and not able to find it, then we would suggest that you open a ticket so that we could investigate and assist you further. So if we could move on to the next foil, please, number 28.9. Here's a few useful links that we'd like to provide to you. The first one, first two are info centers, the first for the message broker, the second for MQ. Anyone who's not familiar with the info centers, there's just an absolute ton of good information in those for using and administering the product. Additionally, the general website for Message Broker, where there's a lot of good information on upcoming WSIs and tech notes and lots of good information like that. And then there's a link for the support packs. If there's something outside the immediate product functionality that you're looking to do, that would be a good place to check initially. So if we can move to number 30, please. Okay, here are a number of sites that provide valuable online resources for WebSphere products. Visit the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange site to learn more about upcoming WSD webcasts, like the one that you attended today, and also access previously recorded presentations. The Developer Works website offers in-depth technical information and is just a great wealth of information if you've not looked at that yet. Or visit the WebSphereUserGroup.org for user group information and more product information specific to Broker and WMQ. The IBM Education Assistant, which consists of self-help modules to get new users up and learning product more quickly. And the SR tool is for Passport Advantage clients to open, validate, and view PMRs online. And the My Notifications link on all the product support pages let you sign up for weekly email updates for products of interest to you. So with that, I'll ask for the next foil and turn the presentation back to Joseph.
Thank you, Wendy and Kailash, for a great presentation. At this point in time, Laurie, we would like to open the lines for questions.
Our first question comes from Srikanth Vittal.
Hi. This is regarding, to passing of a variable COBOL copybook messages in Message Broker 7.0.
Okay.
When we are trying to passing the COBOL copybook message, which we are receiving it from the COBOL mainframe systems, which is a variable length, it's not a fixed length. The COBOL copybook structure, it has a 5 fields. Assume that you might receive a 3 fields.
Okay.
So we are constructing a CWF message. Then we are getting an exception which states the CPI text buffer input data to SHOT.
Srikant, would it be possible for you to either open a PMR or send a note to one of us?
Yeah, that's what my next thing maybe. You know, if you have any on the fly, if you have any details, it's good.
Not off the top of my head. It sounds like more a problem with your either copybook or your
memory. No, it's not like only for the problem, which is a universal problem, which there are many of the people have been placed this question in the forums. So I would like to see whether how it is going to be addressed in this particular meeting. That's why I just thought about it. Anyhow, then I will go into raise a PMR on this.
Yeah, just send a PMR or drop us a note, because I don't have any information off the top of my head right now.
Okay.
Nothing?
Okay, no issues. No issues.
So, yeah, drop me a note, and I will look into it, and if a PMR is needed, I'll let you know.
Okay, thank you. Thank you. Have a nice day, guys.
All right, take care.
Bye-bye.
The next question is from Andy Zhou.
Hi, this is Andy Zhou, and we successfully migrate broker from 6 to 7, but when I try to create execution group from MQ Explorer, I get the AIR BEIP 1825E. You attempt to create execution group, but the broker is running a mode which limits the number of execution groups that can exist at any one time. The execution group cannot be created. I don't know what's wrong with that.
Can you repeat the message? I didn't get all the detail, and I think I missed some pieces that are critical here.
Okay. The message ID is BIP 1825E.
Okay.
You attempt to create an execution group on broker, but the broker is running in mode which limits the number of execution groups that can exist at any one time. The execution group cannot be created, probably under 20.
I wasn't aware that there was any limitation to that other than anything that would be limited by resources.
Right, and the suggestion will be reuse existing execution group or delete existing execution group, try to command again. Alternatively, contact your IBM representative to upgrade your license. That's confusing me too.
Okay. I think we're going to ask you to open up a PMR for that one so that we can find out what information we'd like to collect to look into this further, and then we can get back to you with a solution, or just go further with this. It doesn't sound like you should be limited unless potentially there's some licensing or something that limits, but I'm not aware of that off the top.
Okay, thank you. I will do it.
And what platform are you creating this execution group on?
AIX.
Okay, and do you have permissions to the directories and all?
That's correct. We're the owner of the broker, and we use the exact same owner to migrate the broker.
Okay.
I will open PMR.
Yes, please open that, and we'll look into it, and we'll be back in touch with you.
Sure.
Thanks, Andy.
Okay.
Thank you. The next question is from Chandra Yelapantula.
We migrated from version 6 to version 7. What we are trying to do is when the message flow is accessing the table and we dropped the table and the flow was expecting the flow was throwing an error as expected. But when we recreated the table, the flow is unable to see the table and it is saying that the precision value, it's giving the BIP number 2322, and it is saying that ODBC Oracle Y protocol driver invalid precision value. So is it something, and when we do the MQSA reload and when we start testing that particular flow, it was working fine.
It sounds like the connection handle is somehow invalidated, Chandra. But can I ask you a question of curiosity?
Oh, yeah, go ahead.
Is there any reason why the table was knocked off? It's like pulling the rug underneath the towers.
We were doing some kind of negative testing on the floor, actually. You know, sometimes, there would be a particular perfect reason to drop the table, and the table may may not be available in the environment. And in that case, we don't want to lose the messages, and we don't want to error it out. So what we are doing is we are disabling the input queue to further process. The messages will be captured in the exception queue and as well as in the error queue, and the original message will be sitting in the input queue. Once we look into the problem and once we see that hey, there is a problem with the environment, the table is dropped, or the database is down. So once we bring up the database up, we enable the queue, so the messages will go and the process as is. But that was a scenario with the version 6. But not now what's happening is the version 7 is when we do the same stuff, we are experiencing this problem. Until exception handler, it is working as is. The input queue is disabling and everything is fine. But, when the database is back and when we enable the input queue, the messages are going back, the messages are going directly to the input queue, to the failure queue saying that this is an error. But, when we re-execute that and when we retested the same thing, before enabling the queue, when we execute the MQSA reload command, it is working fine. But that was not the case with the version 6. So does anything change with the version 7, or the broker is not refreshing its environment as quick as in version 6? Or
was it working with version 6 and not with version 7?
Yeah, it was working fine with version 6.
Well, there are a couple of changes, between version 6 and version 7. Obviously, the DataDirect Marin drivers have changed. So what you're saying is if you restart, for example, you deleted the table, so you stopped the database and recreated the table and brought it back up, right?
Mm-hmm.
But the message, the execution growth process does not know that the database has gone down, so it probably will still use the same old connection handle.
Yeah.
So, and you're saying if you restart the execution group also, it's not recognizing that?
Yeah, it's not recognizing the table. When we recreate the table is not recognized by the flow. But when we do the MQSA reload, the flow is recognizing the table.
When does it not recognize and when does it recognize?
When we drop the table, it is not recognizing.
Of course, it will not because it's...
And when we recreate the table, it is not recognizing. And when we execute the MQSA reload, it is recognizing.
Yeah, like I said, it has a connection handle to one particular... It's always, you have to understand, the process will not go read the table three times.
Mm-hmm.
It loads it and keeps it in the cache, right?
That's true, but that was not the... true with the version 6. We never executed MQSA reload command while we're doing this negative testing. Drop the table with the queue will be in disabled and enable the input queue and the message will work as is.
Right. If I'm not mistaken, what happened between version 6 and in fact 6. Were you on 6.1 or 6.0?
6.0.10.
Okay. Between 6.0 and 6.1, there were some changes for refreshing the connection handle. In 6.0, we always used to have a timer to go refresh the connection handle. And because some customers said, it's more of performance thing, we kind of, went back, and now we only refresh the connection handle after a certain time, or there is a particular sequence that happens when the connection handles are refreshed. That's probably the reason. So I mean, in your scenario, an execution group reload is like the correct option to do.
Okay. So is there any, so every time we need to do the MKSA reload, or is there any parameter we need to set to get the refresh the broker cache?
What you're doing is a negativity testing, right?
Yeah.
Like a real-life scenario where somebody drops the table when the flows are being executed.
Uh-huh.
So I have reload is the correct way to go in that case.
Okay.
All right?
Yeah, sounds good.
Okay.
The next question is from Mike Wallace.
Hey, Mike.
Hi, Mike.
Hey, I have a question about slide 27. I don't think I completely understood your explanation.
Okay.
About the get configurable services method.
Uh-huh.
It sounded like at the beginning you were saying that there was nothing wrong with the code, but then at the end you were like saying that this was a documentation error because, you know, the code that you showed was not in the, is not documented in the manual. Could you clarify that a little bit?
Yeah, sure. The code that is there without the while statement in that piece of is a perfectly valid code. Anybody who writes, like, you know, who has written the code, they said, okay, I got the broker proxy, and I'm retrieving, I want to retrieve the configurable services.
Right.
That's the normal operation. But what happens is, between the time you got the broker proxy and retrieved the configurable services, you did not allow sufficient time for the broker proxy to retrieve all the data.
Oh, I see.
So that's why what happens is the code executes fine. If you run it, like, you know, from the command line, the code executes fine, but you won't see any configurable services being listed.
I see.
So what happens is, the while statement has the broker populated the list was there. The method was there, but it is not explicitly documented. It's only documented in the Java doc. But
okay. We
did not give an explanation why we need to use that method.
Oh, I see.
So
I see.
Unless you put a time, even like, you know, for that matter, you don't need to use that method. You can put a loop which loops through, like, you know, I want to say a million.
Just yeah.
Gives you enough time, like, you know, like a breather.
Okay.
So for the broker to populate the data.
Okay.
This method ensures, suppose, like, you know, you have a ton of configurable services.
Yeah.
This method ensures that it will return false till the time the broker proxy data is returned correctly.
Okay. Okay, so this is just really a timing issue then.
Exactly.
Okay, is this documented anywhere? Or you said it was undocumented, and I notice that there was no fix or workaround for it. would you have had to seen this slide to become aware of this issue?
Well, actually, to be honest, like, you know, when this issue was, Matt Cordua was working at one of the customer sites.
Yeah.
He had written the code, and he said, like, he pinged me, and he said, is this code correct? And I looked at it, I said, yeah, it is correct.
Okay.
And we did not get any configurable services, but when we ran through the debugger, it was listing everything. That's when
we're
scratching our heads, what is the difference? And whereas the config manager proxy API exercise was doing it perfectly correct.
Right.
Okay, what is the difference? And then when we looked underneath the covers of the CMP API code, it was using that method. And so it needs to be, the CMP API examples need to be changed in the Info Center. And
are they going to be?
Yeah, we are working on that.
Okay. This is not, as far as I know, this is not an issue, but we do have a CMP API application, which I didn't write, but I just wanted to make sure I understood it so that, you know, in case this issue crops up, I'll be able to say, oh, yeah, that's a documentation issue, and here's how you get around it.
I mean, whenever you're using the broker proxy and you want to use any data that needs to be returned by the broker proxy, you're always safe to put this method in between so that the proxy returns the data and you have the data available for the subsequent methods or calls that you're going to use them for.
Yeah. By the way, we're running Message Broker 7001 in all of our environments now, and for the most part, it's worked out pretty good.
That's great to hear.
Yeah, I just thought I'd put in a plug. Okay, thank you.
Thanks.
That answers my question.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from Titus Anthony.
Hey, Kailash. This is Titus. Hey, Randy.
How are you?
Good. How are you? Long time.
I'm long time.
Yeah. Hey, this version 7, in the couple of slides, you were mentioning MB Explorer.
Right.
Is it new?
Yeah. I mean, if you remember, there is ISO 2 support pack, the MB Explorer. There was a support pack which is now available in the product as MB Explorer.
And what is the purpose of this? I mean, what we can get it from MB Explorer?
Well, it's actually an MQ Explorer which can show you. It's more for administrators, MQ admins. They can administer broker from the MQ Explorer itself.
Okay. So does it display all the execution groups or?
Yes.
In fact, the broker administration functionality was taken out of the toolkit and moved into the Message Broker Explorer since it was administrative in nature and it fit with MQ better than it did with the toolkit developer line of thinking.
I see. Yeah, thank you.
At this time, there are no further questions.
Thank you, Laurie. At this time, we will conclude the presentation.